The scripture I want to share this morning in my sermon title is that why study the Bible? People always ask that, why do I want to study the Bible? Well, I took the car in for service Saturday, and while I was waiting for it, I just reached over and there's my briefcase, and I have a little small faith-sharing testament that I carry in my briefcase. And I thought, now's a good time just to kind of read the book of Revelation again. You know, and it was just so wonderful. And just, I read the whole thing from 22 chapters in 45, 50 minutes. It's just an easy read, and it reminded me of a lot of things. So, in Psalm 139, longest psalm in the Bible. In fact, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 139. I just want to focus on one scripture this morning, and we'll look at some more of them. In Psalm 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And we sing that little song too. Thy word. It's a little catchy little song also. But why study the Bible? A lot of times people say, well, there's too many translations. I don't know which one to get. I don't know how to do that. We got more excuses than you can shake a stick at. There are 50 different English translations of the Bible. And then the question arises, is there really a need for that many translations of the English language? Yeah, there is. And the reason I say that is at one time the English language has changed. And even the different versions that was translated way back when just needed a little modern touch because we don't use a lot of the words and so forth that they used years ago. And there's also different methodologies on how to render those translations and get them from the original Hebrew and the Aramaic and the Greek into English. And it's hard. But Christians can study the Word of God together and understand it better. That's why we come together in fellowship and try to understand what the Word of God says. And then take it and share it with others. It's very important to study the Word of God with somebody else. Although you can do it all by yourself, the Holy Spirit will guide you and strengthen you. Say, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, help me understand what I'm reading. The Bible is the book that is owned by more people in America than any other single book. But what do Bible owners really know about the Bible? Give you a little bit of clue on Barnum Research. 82% say that God helps those who help themselves. And they say it's taken directly from the Bible. Well, that particular verbiage is not from the Bible. The principle of it is from the Bible. But a lot of people say, yep, it's in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. 66% say there is no such thing as absolute truth. And they kind of hang on to that. But when you think about it, there is one absolute truth that we all have to deal with unless the Lord comes for us first. That's death. 63% can't name the four Gospels. 58% cannot name half of the Ten Commandments. 58% do not know that Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. 52% don't know the book of Jonah is in the Bible. 48% don't know that the book of Thomas is not in the Bible. Now, there is a book of Thomas, but it never made it into what we call the canon of Scripture. 39% don't even know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And 30% do not know there were 12 apostles. And thinking about that, it reminded me of a Sunday school teacher who was talking to a class of young boys. That's why I love to talk to the kids. It's out of the mouths of a babe. And she was talking and she said, class, tell me, who went into the lion's den and came out unhurt? One little boy thought about it a little bit. He said, Tarzan. Came out on her, Tarzan. People just don't know the Bible, including kids. There was a pastor that just got appointed to a congregation, and he was out visiting. And one of the matriarchs of the church, a very nice, wonderful woman, was on his list to go visit. And she wanted to make sure everything was just right. And the pastor got there, and they sat in the living room and different things and talking and sharing a little bit. And her son came in, and she introduced him to the pastor. And she said, "Honey, do me a favor. Go and get for me that book that I read every day that's right by my nightstand and bring it here." She wanted to impress the preacher what she was doing. Okay, so he did. He brought it in and he handed her the Sears catalog. Now, that's not somebody that, yeah, a little levity for this morning, but many people, including Christians, have Bibles in their house, but they don't have it in their heart. And that's a tragedy. The psalmist tells us that in verse 162 in Psalm 139, "I rejoice at your word as the one who finds great treasures." He called God's word a treasure chest with jewels of joy for the one who will mine its riches. As you know, the Psalms is it's a Hebrew hymn book, basically. It's the book of songs. Psalm 119 is the longest song in all the Bible. The Bible is filled with chapters and different things, and Psalm 119 is just, I think it's 120-some-odd verses. But why do we need the Bible to guide us in this life? As I said in the scripture, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And now we're told that that book, that that light is your word, O Lord. You wouldn't go out into the woods at night without taking a flashlight. And you don't want to go into life without taking the word of God with you in your heart, because his word is a lamp unto your feet. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." This book is a book of miracles, but it's a miracle book. It's full of miracles, but it's also a miracle book. As I said to the young people, the Bible basically means book of books. It's not only one book, it's 66 books. 66 love letters, if you would, from God to you and to me. But the diversity is amazing. Because in these 66 books, they were written by 40 different authors living in several different continents and countries. Israel, Babylon, Greece, Rome, Asia Minor, and perhaps even in Arabia. They were wrote into three different languages, as I mentioned, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And they were separated by 16 centuries. And yet, the Bible tells the same story from beginning to end. If you don't understand Genesis and you don't understand the book of Revelation, you can't understand what's in the middle. We begin at Genesis in the garden, the book does, where there's a river. And we end in paradise in the book of Revelation, where there's a river that flows from the throne of God. You may find that form beginning to the end. This book is all about God's love, and more importantly, it's about Jesus Christ. Christ is concealed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament, but it's all about Christ. We are told that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and that it is a light. It is a lamp that shows us the next step that we're about to take. And it shows us what direction that we need to go in. And he's referring to how we should live our lives, basically, because God's word is a lamp and a light that shows you where you should go and also shows you where you have been and that you won't want to go there again. Lamp, in order to be effective, got to be turned on. A light, in order to be effective, must be not only turned on, but it needs to focus on the where you're going. And you have a choice. The most beautiful thing about the Bible is this. It is a light that never goes out. It's a lamp that can never be extinguished. That's the unpardonable sin. People that shut God completely out of their life, trying to squelch that light of God that's within us. I read an article recently. Any pilots? Anybody pilot? You know, I was reading an article recently about 178 seconds of life, where you only had 178 seconds to live. That's what the article was saying. And what it did is it chronicled the results of 20 pilots in a flight simulator. Now, each one of these pilots were skilled aviators, but not had taken instrument training. As long as the weather was good, they were all experts in flight. They were able to handle anything that came their way as long as the weather was good. But when they took these 20 pilots and put them in a flight simulator and asked them to keep their plane under control as they flew through a storm, all 20 pilots lost control of their planes and crashed in an average time span of 178 seconds. A friend of mine that teaches helicopter, he says when you start learning how to fly in a helicopter, you learn early on to trust your instruments. Because if you don't and you're trying to fly that helicopter by sight, you'll crash. The instruments. Keep your mind on the instruments and you'll be okay. God teaches us in a way that we should go, and he guides us with this light. And God is a revelation from his heart to us that we need to share with others. I believe every Christian ought to be not only in a Bible study, but be sharing the Bible wherever they go. Because all you have to do is teach somebody else is to know more than they know. One man was talking to his neighbor, and he said, "Hey, John," he says, "how do you teach your dog those tricks? I can't teach my dog any tricks." And John said, "Well, first you got to know more than the dog." Think about that. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, says this, "As newborn babies desire pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, and as you know, if a child fails to eat, it'll stunt his growth. It'll cause them to lose strength. It'll cause him to become susceptible to diseases, even death. And just as babies need physical milk to grow and to mature, just as a baby goes to from the milk to the meat, we should also be able to not just remain babies in our spiritual life." That's what the Apostle Paul affirmed that in 1 Corinthians 3:2. He said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and now you are still not able." You see, one of the purposes of reading the Bible and studying the Bible is to grow. The psalmist in verse 20 or 99 in Psalm 139, that the reading of the Bible gives us more wisdom and insight than education. "I have more understanding than my teachers," it says in Psalm 99, "for your testimonies are my meditations, O Lord." Many years ago, there was a professor that said, "He who knows the Bible may be called well-educated, and he who is not acquainted with the Bible is an ignorant person, regardless of what knowledge they possess." Psalm 139, verse 100, the Bible says that it's more insight. It said, the psalmist said, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." The Word of God is the best teacher. The psalmist here says that someone who knows the Word of God may be young and yet far more than a senior adult who does not know the Word of God. She don't come much anymore, Christiane. That little girl that come here, she knows more about the Word of God than most adults. Did you know that there's vast differences in age and maturity in physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense? The Bible was not just written for information. It was written for transformation of our heart. And here's how that happens. when the child of God reads the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is transformed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for God's glory. I got a lot of favorite Bible teachers that I follow, and Warren Wiersbe was one of them. And he made this statement that I always remembered. He said, the purpose of Bible study is not to brag, not to argue or debate about what we know, or split Sunday school classes, or cause churches to split. The purpose of the Bible is to study and to live a righteous and godly life. Phil and I had the opportunity, since I've been here a little bit, back and forth talking about, he's very knowledgeable of the Bible. He has a good understanding of the Bible, and we sit and share a little bit. We have different perspective on this, but the whole purpose is to edify one another. And it's really a wonderful thing. That's really why you study the Bible together. I had to do something for Betty for charge conference, and when I told her about it, I said, I'm not a good typist, and I never learned how to type real good, because the typing teacher was the problem. She would walk around the room, and if she saw you looking at your keys, she would whack you across the knuckle with an 18-inch ruler. So I thought, I'll show you. I just won't learn how to do that. So I don't have the eye-hand coordination to do that, so I had to look at the keys. But anyhow, if you ever get an email from me, it's all in capital letters, because I'm not shouting, as the computer people say. It's just the way I have to do it, because I can't switch back. Anyhow, I had to do something for Betty, and I said, now I have to write it because I can't type it. And Judy was away all week doing some family things. And I said, now if you can interpret tongues, I'll give it to you the way that I wrote it. Because I write in tongues, I write one big long sentence, and I don't punctuate very good. And she said, I'm used to that, I can probably do it. I said, no, I'll wait till Judy comes home, and I'll have her write it in a way that it's legible. But I said that to say this. Businesses lose $200 million a year because of poor handwriting. Kodak had a lot of problems. They went through bankruptcy. Now they're back into the digital age. But they were stuck at one time when the film industry was still prevalent. They were stuck with nearly 400,000 unreturnable rolls of film that was developed. And they couldn't find the people who put them in those little bags and wrote on there because the handwriting is so bad. The United States Post Office spends $38 million a year just to keep the dead letter place in the post office open. Costed them like $4 million every month. It was also recorded that secretaries, bless their hearts, say they spend more time trying to figure out what the boss intended for them to do than doing the chore itself. It's incredible how much careless handwriting can produce bad stuff. Well, God understood that, and because people's tendency is to get lazy, especially with his letters. So he wrote his own. In the 66 books combined into one, we call it the Bible, we have God's plan, plain, legible, understandable, a message to the human race. You don't need a professional decipherer, because even a five-year-old can understand the Bible. So the question is not whether God's word is readable. The question is whether or not God's word is read. And I want you to think about this for a minute. An unreadable Bible is as useless as a car that won't start. As meaningless as an unloaded gun. And worthless as undiscovered treasure. I heard about a gentleman that had a family vineyard, and his sons believed that their father was wealthy. And they knew that someday they were going to be able to inherit that wealth. But they were hoping that he wouldn't die so that they could still maintain that. But he got sick, and he was on his deathbed. And the sons wanted them wanted him to tell him what his secret was to wealth. He said, boys, he says, the secret to wealth in our family business is out there in that vineyard. Well, he died. And the boys were hoping, God, I wish he had told us more. They were hoping to find a treasure on that property. So they went out and they toiled for months and months and months, careful not to damage any of the vines. They dug over every inch of the vineyard. They just knew that secret was out there. They pulled every weed. They cleaned off all the grass and they discovered nothing. But that fall, when the harvest came, it was the finest crop of grapes that that family farm ever produced. The secret of his wealth was the vines, which was properly cared for. That's what made him very rich. We too have a vineyard that'll produce unbelievable spiritual wealth, but we have to work at it. We have to dig through it. We have to get into it. Many of us are in the first grade of spiritual growth, and we need to grow into high school. Some of us are in high school in our spiritual growth, and we need to go to college. And some of us are in college, and we need to go to graduate school. Some of us are in graduate school, and we need to start teaching others. That's why we read the Bible, in order to grow and to help one another. We heed the Bible to guard us. There's two tremendous verses in the chapter at the very beginning of verse 9 in Psalm 139. It says this, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. I'm working more and more and becoming computer literate. It's a challenge. And I have found out that the computer can only do so many things. It only has so much memory. Years ago, when the computer would run out of memory, they had these old floppy disks and so forth. Now, they plug in the thumb drives and different things like that. And we are the same way. Because when the hard drive is full, it cannot take any more files. We need to clear our mind and ask the God to give us the wisdom to study his word, so that we will be able to have room enough for the memory of his word. Read the Bible. Be safe. Believe it to be wise. And I want to share with you not only why you should read the Bible, but how you should study it. First of all, you should study the Bible continuously. Read it. Read not just the New Testament, but also read the Old Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I built a slab for the motorhome when we first bought that property out there. Because I wanted to, we were thinking about originally just using it for home base and traveling RV full time, but it just didn't work out. But when we were building that slab, we surveyed it, cleaned the ground, and we put boards around it. Had a guy come in and pour concrete in it. And it was amazing. Those boards held in the concrete in order to do that slab. God had formed us with truth. It's called the Bible. If we pour it into a soft heart and surrender our life, God will see to it that that form and that heart of life will take shape with his word and with his truth, to see that we can be just like him. The thing that you got to do when you're looking at the book or the Bible is you got to get to the person that all the pages are about. And that person is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Now, I'm not good at memorizing scripture. I've been able to memorize some of them. One of my most favorite guys, he's called the Walking Bible, Dr. Jack Van Impe. He has memorized the entire Bible. Not only him, but there's been other ones that do. Memorized the whole Bible from beginning to end. I'd love to be able to do that. I can't. I've been able, though, to take a couple of scriptures that were important to me that ministered to me, and I can remember those. It's not so much to be able to memorize the whole Bible. It's to be able to know where it is in the Bible that you can go and get it and use it for your edification when you need it. When I did that series in Waukena on the hurts, hang-ups, and habits, Scripture ministered to a young lady when we were doing that whole series that was isolated from her family. She was on drugs, living on the streets, and the family didn't want nothing to do with her. But some reason, the Spirit of the living God drew her to that church while we were doing that series for the 8 weeks. She's now married, and in fact, she was so bad that they had a wedding, and she left the wedding. They had the tent set up, and they were doing the wedding ceremony. She left. They didn't even know where she went. And she was back out in the streets. But when the Word of God got in her heart and started ministering to her, she was able to come and to be a part and finally went through that wedding ceremony with her now husband. And she's got how many kids now? Two. God's Word is amazing. So that's why we ought to study the Bible. You could probably add 100 things to my couple things that I just shared with you. But the reason we ought to study the Bible is that it'll change you from the inside out. And it will change you from the outside in order to help somebody else that God wants you to minister to. Family, friend, colleague. It's just an amazing journey. And God did an amazing thing by giving us that book. Father, thank and praise you, Lord, as we lead up to Thursday night and we study in the Bible, and especially with the book of Revelation, a book that so many people stay away from because they think it's scary or it's this or it's that. But it is a love letter to us, and it's a wonderful thing of the blessed hope that we have in Christ. That's what it's all about. Some of the things that are in there, Lord, is just a blessing. It says, those who read and hear and understand this book, I will give you a blessing. And at the end, he also gives us a blessing. Sometimes when we're reading a novel and interested in the novel and, oh, we want to see how it ends, we go to the back of the book. The back of the book will give you the hope that you need if you missed everything else in the Bible. It's just an awesome, wonderful book. And we just hang on to it because the Lord said he's coming back. No, we don't know when. Nobody sets dates, but I know that he's coming back because he said so. And in that book, it gives us the ability to keep on keeping on. And we just pray for this little church, Lord, pray for this community, and hope and pray that as we study the Bible, and we call it the bread of life, Jesus is the bread of life, and study it and sharing, it's just basically having one baker telling another baker where to find food. That's what evangelism is all about. So thank you for this day, Lord, and be with us as we go to the fellowship hall and break bread together. In Jesus' name, amen.